I'm taking you just one more level with Philippians. We're stuck there. Not for a bad way, but for a good way. And so we're going to Philippians chapter 4. And you're going to probably get a little happy on this one. It's rejoice in the Lord always. Did you get it? Okay. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Now, the word think should have a circle around it. Because that's what it has in my Bible. Because that's the trigger word that's going to change your future. Think about such things. Well, it's not always comfortable to think about those things when your circumstances are, I've got pain, or I've got a piece missing, or I'm facing surgery, or I'm facing this problem. But the word says to think about such things. Whatever, verse 9, you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. All right, so that speaks a mountain. That means that they did walk away for a while, and they really didn't pay too much attention to this apostle. But then they returned. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I stress the word learned. Maybe it needs a little circle there as well. Because if you think about all the things that are going wrong in your life, your emotional life is going to be what? Kind of dumpy and bumpy. Yes, yes or no?
Yes. Amen.
And we have an accent on all the things that happen that go wrong. I don't know why we're that way. I think it's because of the fall.
Probably.
All right? And we can't blame everything on Adam. Because we have the new Adam. The second Adam took all that stuff away. But we're still struggling coming out of slavery. In case you forgot, Egypt is still in us.
Ooh.
Amen.
Yeah, but it's not comfortable.
No.
I don't like it. Okay? But I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now I'm going to give you a little bit more in that subject because that's where he had me today. Being content. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Communicating an aspect of peace to someone who has a lot of money and they're worried about the economy and the ups and downs of the financial system. Tell me how much joy they have in life. They're putting in 20-something hours sometimes a day just trying to keep the boat afloat. Tell me what joy there is in that. Oh, they've got a pretty house. They may have a pretty car, and they may even have an airplane at the airport. But they are dying. Many of them are dying. Luke 3:14. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Oh, I don't like my pay. Well, isn't that odd that Amanda decided to come tonight? And she's got a young man that is a soldier. So what are we saying? He's got to learn to be content with his pay. Now, would he like double? Of course. How many would like a raise? Oh, look, there was no problem raising your hands, is there? All right. There's nothing wrong with it, but the Lord says to be content with it, because if you're content, your emotions are going to what? Your emotions are going to what? They're going to flourish. Right. Instead of having a nervous system that's all tightened up, your muscles are aching and every joint is hurting. Why? Because you never learn to relax and be content. Not pretty, but it's the truth. And am I blaming anybody? I'm blaming me. Because I did it for a while. I wasn't any smarter. I didn't know Proverbs 15. Philippians 4:11, you already learned. 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment can become great gain. Amen. So, verse 8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Oh. You can be happy with just food and clothing. How many have lost everything at one point? Well, about a month before my firstborn, we lost everything. Our house burnt down. And I can remember walking outside the next day and looking at what was left, which was charcoal and waterlogged junk that needed to go. And my one prayer was, "Thank you, Jesus, that Grandma wasn't in the house, because we probably would have all died trying to save her." She had gone in the hospital at 7 o'clock the night before, and the explosion happened underneath her bed at approximately 12:30 at night. By 1 o'clock, we were on the roof, and I had to jump to get a ladder so that my wife could be rescued from the roof. The flames were rolling, and it was no fun. But we learned to thank the Lord, because we had our lives. We had our baby boy a month later. And we had food. And we had a little bit of clothing that were given to us. Amen. So we could survive. For the first year of that experience, we wore hand-me-downs from whoever was kind enough to give it. Was I content? Yes. I was working about 12, 14 hours a day. I went down to about 130 pounds. I don't care if, you know, you lose a little bit, but I think I was down to skin and bones. There wasn't anything left to lose. But I was grateful that this grandmother, who did not go home before she saw her great-grandson in her arms. So what am I saying? Learning takes time. Experience after experience takes time. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Hebrews 13:5. And this one is important because even the Christian church can fall into this category. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor never will I forsake you. The day after the fire, we were sitting in my mom's living room, and I had a memory explosion. We had been living with her dad and Irene's grandmother, because Irene's mom had passed away 2 years before. And now we were looking at a devastation that we did not anticipate. But God was with me about 8 months before that, because I had stopped at the local insurance agency. I had paid for my car insurance, and I purchased fire insurance for the furniture we had purchased over the past year, and never told my wife about it. I paid it, and I walked away and forgot about it. This allowed my wife and I to furnish the next house, because my father-in-law had insurance on his building, the house. It was a duplex. And so we made a decision at that point, because somebody offered us a free apartment for a year. We could have gone on our own, but her grandmother was in the hospital, and we had now learned that she was diagnosed with cancer, and there was nothing more that they could really do because of her age and the limitations that she was in. So we made a decision to find a home that had hopefully two bathrooms, three bedrooms, a kitchen, and a living room. And it had to be available quickly. And the Lord showed us a house. My father-in-law bought the house with the insurance money, and we furnished it. So within 3 weeks after settling with the insurances, the house was purchased, and we moved in the first weekend in October, which is right now, 53 years ago, and we're still here. What does that say? It says, be content.
Amen.
Get happy.
Amen.
Was it difficult? It was hard as nails. Because a brand new baby, a lot of unknowns, a new neighborhood. My wife cried every single day. She didn't know any of the neighbors. She got to know that we were in the best place we could have been. She just lost her best friend next door after 53 years this summer, and she's still very lonely because of the loss of this beautiful lady who had two girls the same age as our sons. So God had his plan. God had his plan in the midst of we didn't know. God had his plan in the time where we didn't have anything except, yes, food and clothing and a place to sleep. Close your eyes. Say, Father, tonight, let me learn to be grateful for what I have.
Let me learn to be grateful.
And to truly thank you.
And to truly thank you.
That I have food and clothing.
That
you have sustained me.
And
you've never left me.
And you're not about to.
Even when I've had trials.
Temptations of all kinds.
Hardships of all types.
You were with me in it.
And you're not about to leave me.
So I'm trusting you by choice.
I will be content.
I will be happy.
And keep rejoicing.
Until all these tests are done.
For your glory.
In Jesus' name.
That's it.